The title of my message this evening is Not Even a Shadow. I will be working my way to James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Three times in the book of God, we are given specific declarations of the immutability of our God, the absolute, unchangeable character of God. God, our God, does not change. He cannot change, and He cannot be changed. It's almost impossible for us with our puny brains to get any sense of what this declaration is. God is immutable. God is immutable. Nothing changes Him. Nothing alters Him at all to any degree. God is immutable. Let's begin in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Now, God's immutability is taught throughout the book of God. It is stated in many, many ways. But here are three distinct declarations of immutability in God. Here in Malachi chapter 3, the Lord God Himself, speaking by His prophet Malachi, asserts His own immutability. His immutability as God, the triune God, the triune Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For I am the Lord. The word there, Lord, is capitalized, all four letters capitalized, an indication to you that the translators are saying, this is Jehovah. The word Lord here is Jehovah. It refers to the three persons of the triune Godhead, by the name with which the Lord God made Himself known to Moses in the burning bush. I am Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Lord Jehovah, our great God, here encourages faith in Him, peace before Him, and assurance from Him. Faith, peace, and assurance. If you read the context in which this statement is given, when God is bringing horrible judgment upon the land because of their sin. When God is bringing horrible judgment upon the land because of their sin. Yet, God here speaks a word to give His people faith, peace, and assurance. And here is His word. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Lord, why have you done this to our land? You've said, Jacob, I have loved, Esau, I have hated. But how is it? It doesn't look much like it does. How is it you've loved us? How is it you've done things special for us? How is it you've chosen us and set us aside? Look what you've done to us in your judgment upon the nation and the pain and heartache we feel. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Lord Jehovah, our great God, encourages faith, peace, and assurance with this description of Himself, by which He declares His absolute immutability. You see, faith, real faith, if we really believe God, cannot rest upon any object except the unchangeable God, one who is absolutely immutable, one who does not change, is not changed, and cannot be changed. Only one who stands as the solid pillar of immutability can be believed and trusted absolutely. No man can have such faith. No imaginary deity can be given such faith. This faith, the faith God gives us in Himself, is faith in God who changes not. And the foundation of all peace, assurance, and security is in the fact of our God's immutability. Now here's the claim of one who is sovereign. I am the Lord. There is but one true God, but one true and living God. He who is God sits upon the lofty throne of the universe, Lord over all. Jehovah our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, claims eternal greatness as the sovereign God of the universe. He's the holy, infinite, all-knowing, all-seeing, almighty, universally present, sovereign God. Because He is God, Jehovah demands, deserves, and shall absolutely have, one way or another, our reverence before Him as God. I am the Lord. When He says that, God reveals Himself and demands that we bow to Him as Lord. It's God's character that demands and causes faith. We trust Him because He is God, the Lord, the sovereign, unchanging One. We trust Him because He, our God, changes not. God reaches everything. Nothing reaches God. God changes everything. Nothing changes God. God affects everything. Nothing affects God. God moves all things. Nothing moves God. God touches everything. Everything. Nothing touches God. Nothing. Sitting on His high, glorious throne, in the ease and serenity of absolute sovereignty, He says, I am Jehovah. I change not. And then this great unchanging God speaks of a people, a chosen people, an elect favored people, a people whom He has called for Himself, the objects of His grace, people redeemed by His own sacrifice, ye sons of Jacob. These are God's people, the people of God's choice, the people of God because God made them His. We who believe are God's people, God's choice, the objects of God's love, those whom God's called, those separated by God from our mother's womb, called by His grace to be His sons and daughters. And to these favored, beloved, chosen, redeemed, blood-bought covenant people, God makes a promise. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Turn back to the 89th Psalm. Psalm 89. Were it not for the fact that God never changes, we would have been consumed long ago. But God doesn't change. God doesn't change. At all. Not by anything. Not for any reason. Here in Psalm 89, His chosen, redeemed, believing people are described. Verse 29. His seed. His seed. Now, obviously, this is not talking about just David. David is here given as a representative and a picture and a type of our Redeemer. Christ's seed also will I make to endure forever, and His throne as the days of heaven. If His children forsake My law and walk not in My judgments, if they break My statutes and keep not My commandments. And you can write the if as small as you want to. Read it in huge capital letters. Read it as when. For this is a matter of certainty. This is a matter of certainty. When my children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, when they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Now hold your hands right here and turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Now I know the Lord chastens His people. I know the Lord corrects His people. But don't ever get the idea that God punishes His people for their sins. He punished our sins in our substitute. Look here in Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Back here in Psalm 89. Then will I visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquities with stripes. Nevertheless. That's one of the most wonderful words in the English language. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take. You see what it says? From Him. From Him. I won't take my loving kindness from my servant David, my servant the Lord Jesus, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. And yet there's more. Because our God changes not, not one of those chosen sons of Jacob shall ever be consumed. This one, Bill, who is our God, who says, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed, said this to you too. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is the assurance we have from the fact that our God does not change, cannot change, and cannot be changed. Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Here's the second text which describes the immutability of our God. But here in Hebrews 13, the Spirit of God is teaching us to love one another. He's teaching us to live uprightly in this present evil world, being content with God's grace, His provision and His providence. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let's pick up reading in verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now here is the reason, the basis for these admonitions. Here's the end of our conversation, the end of our lives. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's true of no man except Him who is the God-man. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Nothing remains the same. Everything changes. Sometimes the changes are painful. Sometimes they're delightful. Sometimes they're pleasant. Sometimes they're unbearable, but change is inevitable. How our families change. have a change. His states change, sometimes overnight. The nation changes. Oh, how different things are now than they were 10 years ago. How different than they were 20 years ago. How different than they were 30 years ago. Oh, how things have changed. How things have changed. In my lifetime, how things have changed. We have changes in our health. A man strong one day. So strong that just you look at him and think he's invincible. And the next day, he's broken and weak. And thank God for changes in our hearts. Changes that grace alone makes. Changes that teach us something of humility before His throne. Real humility. Something of contrition before Him. Not a put-on show for men, but real contrition before God. Something of satisfaction with His providence and faith in Him. What changes? Winter turns to spring, spring to summer, summer to fall, and fall to winter again. Everything changes. Nothing in this world stays the same. Nothing solid, nothing substantial, nothing lasting. Reach out and get all you can. Everything you can get, Mark, is just air. Just grab you a handful of it. Try to hang on to it. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Oh, what men and women sacrifice for a fistful of air. When the wise man cried, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That wasn't an expression of hopeless despair. That was a declaration of fact written by inspiration of God. Is there anything solid? Anything that you can look at and say, this is invincible. This stands. This is firm. This won't shake. This won't rock to and fro. This won't reel back and forth. Anything? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday and today and forever. You won't find that, Lindsay, in me, and I won't find it in you. No. You find that only in Him who is God, who changes not. The Lord Jesus, He upon whom we have set our hearts by the grace of God, He who is the object of our faith, is Christ our God sitting on the throne of the universe, and He never changes. He cannot change. He cannot be changed. He's always the same. Well, what does that mean? Let me suggest a few things. All that He was yesterday, He is today. And all that He was yesterday of eternity past, He is today. So that He who was from everlasting, the object of His Father's delight. He who was from everlasting, that one in whom God put all things. He who was from everlasting, the dispenser of all things, of all grace, of all mercy. He who holds all and dispenses all is Jesus Christ Himself, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. All that He was yesterday while He walked upon this earth. I don't know that I can say this like it ought to be said. And I know we can't begin to grasp it like we ought to grasp it. All that He was yesterday, while He walked on this earth in human flesh, just like we have right now, just like you walk on this earth with right now, that He is today as He sits on the throne of the universe. Was He tender, full of compassion? That He is now. That He is now. I often discuss with friends had a call just the other day, Brother Todd and I were chatting about our Lord looking over Jerusalem, moved with compassion. How do you explain it? I don't know. I sure would hate to explain it away. Moved with compassion. Was he moved with compassion yesterday toward the souls of needy men? So he is today. Is he tender of heart as he was when he said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not? Is he approachable today as he was in that day when men could walk up to him and touch him even when forbidden? He'd say, wait, wait, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Let him cry to me. I like to hear that voice. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Leave that woman alone. Who was that that touched me? So he is today, full of compassion, tender and accessible as he was yesterday. All that he was in the yesterdays of these past 2,000 years, since he ascended up to glory, he is today. He took the reins of the universe. And he's never turned loose and never will. He poured out his spirit upon his church. And he's never taken it back. He breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. As my Father sent me, so have I sent you into the world. And he's never retracted the statement. Since he ascended into glory, he has added to the church daily such as should be saved. And he still adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Second, this means that because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, all that Christ is and has been, he will forever be. And all that he will be forever, he is right now for all his people. All that Christ will be to my soul, in the full gift of his glory, when I sit with him in heaven's glory, all that he will be to me then, that he is to me now. Oh, that I had faith to walk in such light. He said, Father, the glory thou hast given me, I have given them. This glory that I had with you before the world was, this glory that now you have manifestly given me, that glory I've given to them, all my people, all my disciples. So that amid the changes that take place in this world, amid the changes that take place in our hearts, there's a message from God containing joy and strength which nothing can take away. Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Here's the third thing. Today. Oh, I like that term. Today. Right now. Today. We have a terrible tendency to want to live just for today. Well, grab hold of today for just a minute, will you? Jesus Christ is the same today. Right now. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Trust him who changes not. Look not to yourself, your fickle feelings, or your fickle ways, but to him who is faithful and true. And look at verse 7 in Hebrews 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Paul admonishes us to remember those men who preached the gospel to us, who've served our souls, to follow their examples of faith and faithfulness. keeping our hearts and our minds fixed on Christ. Consider Him. Consider, always consider Him who endured such contradiction for sinners. Such contradiction against Himself. Who endured such suffering, such pain, such agony, such woe in order to redeem us. Consider Him who set His face like a flint and would not be turned back. Considering the end of your faith. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, look at verse 9, Hebrews 13. Text that follows verse 8. Be not carried about with divers winds, or divers in strange doctrine, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, and not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. The admonition here is to doctrinal steadfastness. If you would have your heart established, have your heart fixed on Christ. Have your heart set on the... Ask God to set your heart on His Son. When you open this book, ask God to set your heart on His Son. Quit looking for something nobody else has ever seen. Quit looking for mysteries to unravel. Just quit that. Just quit that. Look for Christ. Look for Christ. I have in my mind a picture. I have it on my computer back down in the office. And it's a picture that sat on my desk every day, 24 hours a day, when I was separated from my fiance, this lady here, for a year. And I like the picture. I like the picture. And I have a pretty good remembrance of what she was wearing when the picture was taken. I took her to get had the picture made. And I've looked at it a lot. I even remember the pin that she was wearing on the blouse she had on, actually she had on a sweater. I remember it well. But I would almost be offended if anybody came and looked at the picture and asked me about the pin. I'd almost be offended if I said, oh, isn't that a pretty sweater she's got on? What? What? That's all you saw? Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. Quit looking for the brand of the pen and the cost of the sweater and look to the Redeemer. And this book will mean something to you. This book will mean something to you. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh. Everything is built on Him. Everything is in Him. Everything flows from Him. Everything points to Him. All right, now, let's look at James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Christ is God's good and perfect gift. Certainly that's so. But here he uses the words every good and every perfect gift, making us to understand that all the gifts of God are good and perfect gifts to His people. All the gifts of His grace, all the gifts of His salvation, all the gift of eternal life, all the gifts of creation, all the gifts of providence, these are, for God's elect, good and perfect gifts. Whatever God brings to pass, He brings to pass for our benefit, and everything is beautiful in its own time. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down. They're constantly coming down from above. Cometh down from above. They come down from above, from the Father of lights. What a name for our God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He who is the creator of light, is the Father of lights. He who is our God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He's the Father and the giver of all light in the world. So if we have light, God gives it. Doesn't matter what kind of light you talk about. Carnal light, spiritual light. Moral light, rational light. Whatever light we have, God gives it. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What a declaration of God's immutability. Writing by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, James tells us that unlike the sun that God made, God who made the sun has no variableness, no phase, no transmutation, no orbit, no fickleness, no change, no explosiveness, no variableness, neither a shadow of turning, not even a hint of change. Not even a hint of change. How great that God must be with whom there is not even a shadow of turning. Not even a shadow of turning. Behold God in His eternal, ineffable, glorious being. He says, I am God. Beside me there is none else. I am the Lord thy God, and I will be thy God, and they shall be my people. I'll forgive their iniquity, their transgressions, and their sins. Now watch how He works through the ages. Oh my. How many rising and setting suns. How many dark pillars of cloud. How many bright pillars of fire. How many nights, dark, dark nights. How many of those nights, like you read about in the Song of Solomon, Franklin, dark nights spiritually in our soul. Dark, dark nights. All God's working. And He's never batted His eye. He's never turned aside. There's not a hint anywhere in history, or a hint anywhere in time, or a hint anywhere in this book that God ever changed His mind about anything. His purpose stands sure. His purpose stands fast. Job. My. What a life he had. What a life he had. What difficulties. What ups and downs. What rejoicings and weepings. What sorrows and delights. His son's born to him. His daughter's born to him. His health strong. His family increasing. And his riches increasing. And his lands increasing. And then everything gone. Everything gone. Gone. Just like that, gone. Everything. And Job's in misery. And his friends are accusing him of evil. And Job behaves like he ought not to behave. But in all the darkness, in all the darkness, in all the trouble, in all the heartache, you know what Job said? The Lord performeth the thing appointed for me. This is God's purpose. This is God's will. This is God's delight. This is God's design for me. And God's going to perform what He appointed for me. Nothing changes Him. Satan led a revolt in heaven. The angels, many of them joined Him. One third of them joined Him. Nothing changed. Adam fell in the garden. Nothing changed. We came forth from our mother's womb speaking the lie and lived in rebellion to God all the days of our lives. Nothing changed. having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And at the appointed time of love, called us by his grace. And so it shall be with every sinner chosen of God from eternity, redeemed by Christ at Calvary. They shall, at God's appointed time, be called by his grace, because this is our God, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. No variableness. When I was a strong young man, I could hold my hand up there with a good bit of weight in it and never shake. I can hardly hold out without it shaking now, but you can't see it, not where you're sitting. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. Nothing about God ever even appears to shake. Nothing. Nothing. His purpose stands. May God give us grace to commit ourselves to him who changes not. That one who is God, our Savior, with whom there is not even so much as a shadow of turning. Oh, how we ought to trust him. How faithfully we ought to serve him. How implicitly we ought to believe him. How peacefully we ought to walk before him. How delightfully we ought to anticipate the finishing of his will in all things. Amen.